could have only been the blood. Amen. Father, we just thank you now, even as you've spoken to your children here today, Lord. We are yours, and we thank you that you love us, and that you encourage us, that you strengthen us, that you feed us, Lord, that we would be all that you desire. Lord, as we surrender our hearts and our lives to you, our communities, our families, our closest friends, our spouses would all be changed. Amen. Changed and bring glory to you. Everybody in agreement says, amen. Amen, amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Nothing but the blood. Amen. Would you, before you're seated, would you greet a couple people? You know, show some love. Yeah, hey, got to stand up again. Yeah. Yeah. Tell somebody you're really happy to see them. Can say you love church. Yeah? Just getting around people that you've never smelled before is just such a good experience. Well, listen, God's still speaking, right? He's still dealing with you and I in those little areas that we've kept hidden away from him. So it's my great pleasure to introduce to you a brother that will speak truth to you, and you get to choose whether it's God or it's him. I'm going to tell you it's God. So let's give him a clap offering, will you? This is Pastor David McDonald. God bless
you. Hallelujah. God bless you. My dear brother from Ireland really encouraged me this morning. God bless you. Told me not to come to Gorey. He said, don't go to Gorey. It's a terrible place. But we're going to be, I don't know if that's rugby or the soccer, but we're going to be out there in February. Maybe we can have a meal together. It'll be great. Amen. We've been in a season of planting churches, and I'm telling you, there is such an awakening on the earth right now. Amen. Come on. The church is alive and well. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Some of you are distracted. I don't know what you're looking at. Look up here. See this big shiny globe? Just keep your eyes right on the globe. Amen. Come on. Let me say this again. There is a great awakening on the earth right now. God is moving. Amen. So get out of the whole negative mindset that church is about to fail. God is not failing. He's on his throne. Amen. Come on. There's a mighty move on the earth. God is awaking the bride out of her slumber. And so the title, I'd like to give my messages titles. So you can title this, Are You Positioned at the Gates? Because I'm telling you, as I've traveled around, I see how the church is rebuilding the gates, but at the same time, there's great warfare in the gates. But how many of you know that we are weaponized by the Holy Spirit? We have all the weaponry. I'm not running around trying to find some type of answer from AI, but I have the answer on the inside of me by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on. And as this year started to happen, I felt the Lord say, you've got to teach the church to rise and build. We've got to rise and build. We've got to change our posture in the season. Amen. Come on. We've got to be in a posture of worship. We've got to be in a posture of praise. We've got to be in a posture of thanksgiving. Amen. Come on. We've got to be in a posture of receiving and understanding what it looks like to create a secret place. That secret place is where you receive insight and strategy, but at the same time, that's where we are birthed into intimacy with God. God is looking for a church that will operate in intimacy with great authority. Amen? Come on. But if you don't have a secret place in your home, a place of worship, a place of prayer, you're not going to receive the strategy you need to be able to confront and go into nations and cities. And so there is a global mandate that has been released on the earth. And with every global mandate, there has to be prophetic strategies. I need strategy right now. You as a pastor, you need strategy. We can't just get stuff off Google and just copy, be a copycat preacher. You just copy what everybody else is saying, because you may just be linked in and connected to an echo. We don't need any more echoes. We need the voice of God in our hearts to be able to speak with great authority. I don't live in an echo chamber. I have a navigational system called Holy Spirit that guides me and leads me. And we live in the information age, so you can choose. I can either get my information off every system and platform out there, or I can go into the secret place and I can receive from God. I can hear from God. And when I step out of that secret place, I have strategies. The church has been fumbling the ball. And there's nothing worse when you play rugby, or I know in your case, you play American football. And I have to laugh. The guys that play American football are this big, but they wear helmets. But anyway, praise God. And so there's nothing worse than fumbling the ball and missing out on the opportunity to score a try. And many times the church, we have all the information, we have all the opportunity, but we keep on fumbling the ball because we don't have the information, we don't have the revelation. Amen? Is this okay? I'm just laying foundation because we're going to be together till Wednesday. So I'm not going to give you everything today, this morning. I'm just giving you just a little taste. Amen. Is that okay? Because, you know, when you go to a nice restaurant, you get a little, what do they call it? A poo-poo platter. When I first came to Australia, I thought these people are so disgusting. They're eating poo-poos. And where I come from, you don't touch poo-poos. And so somebody said to me, you want a poo-poo platter? I was like, no, thanks. You need to get delivered. Amen. And so now I've come to enjoy the Hawaiian culture. And I love the poo-poos. Amen. So this year, as I started to pray about coming to Hawaii, I felt to speak about guarding the gates. Guarding the gates. How we need to guard the gates are important. How we need to be redigging the wells are important. Because this is what happens. Let me read to you what I wrote down here. Momentum is lost because we are not guarding the gates. We're fighting unnecessary battles. We are fighting all sorts of unnecessary battles because we're not guarding the gates. What does that mean? We've allowed the enemy in. He's caused mayhem and chaos. And now we're so busy dealing with the chaos that we've left the gates wide open and we lose momentum. That's what the enemy has done over many, many centuries with the church. Is we are so busy fighting everybody else's wars, trying to put a band-aid on this and a band-aid on that, and we don't understand that we lose momentum in those seasons. God doesn't want you to lose any momentum. I can't afford at my age to lose momentum. I've got to make sure I've got stuff up and running. And so when I think of wells, let me lay this foundation. When I think of wells, I think of provision. How many of you know that the church is lacking provision? Now, I got very quiet, but I can tell you right now, some of you are running on the seat of your pants in terms of provision. We have got a nations to lead to Christ, and we don't have $500 in our missions account. Hello, anybody home? The greatest, let me tell you, the end time destruction of the devil, the end time spirit that will try and come on the church in these hours is lack. If I can just keep the church in lack, if I can just keep the church away from provision, if I can just get them to think that prosperity is from the devil, they will never establish anything on the earth. I travel all around the world. Let me tell you right now, there's people, their church, we can't establish anything without understanding provision. You've got to get out of your mindset that provision's bad. Provision is good. And we've got to step into the season where we understand that there's wells that God is digging. And one of the wells that you're going to see is the well of provision, the well of anointing, the well of revival, the well of the supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit. This should be the church. The church should embrace the fact that we embody all of those things I've just said. There needs to be a fresh anointing. There needs to be breakthrough. There needs to be supernatural flow. The supernatural realm should be the most natural thing that you and I actually live in, because we are supernatural people. We are more spiritual than we are natural. And for so long, we've rejected. We don't like this too much of the Spirit because it freaks people out. So we don't go there, and we're challenged by what we speak because we live in this little bubble of just making people comfortable. Listen to me. You have been given the same Spirit that Jesus had. And when I study the life of Jesus, there was a lot of activity around his life. And so I want to encourage you. When I think about wells, God says, I'm redigging the wells. There's an anointing being released on the earth. There's revival. There's a great awakening happen. You know, I'm going to Europe more and more and more and more, and I'm seeing a great awakening in Europe like never before. I'm going to places like the Netherlands, and I want to tell you right now, I'd be surprised if the next great revival doesn't happen in the Netherlands in terms of Europe. Hello? There are awakenings happening all over the United States. In South Africa, I've just been invited by Lou Engle. I don't know if you know who Lou Engle is. I've just been invited by Lou Engle to help them to organize and orchestrate 1 million women prayer incentive in South Africa. There's 1 million women coming to South Africa like they did on the Washington Mall a year ago. We're doing that in South Africa. Guess what I believe? I believe that in that, revival is going to start to happen in South Africa that'll touch all of Africa. Amen? Come on. And then from there, probably in a year's time, we'll go to Australia. There's great things happening in Australia. How many of you know that Australia is actually called the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit? And so we're prophesying over Australia. We're prophesying over the Hawaiian Islands. Last year when I was here, I met with, I think, 24 or 30, I can't remember, leaders in Maui. And they decided, we had a dinner together or lunch. We brought all these leaders in. And since last year until today, 20 of those people have come together every week to pray and intercede for the islands. And so all this stuff is happening. And so when I think of gates, I think of strength. I think of resistance. I think of security, of righteousness. In other words, you've got to start to think about what your gates look like. In other words, what you let in through your gates matter. Let me just break that down. In other words, your eye gate. What are you allowing into your eye gate matters? What you're allowing into your ear gate matters? What you're allowing into your heart gate matters? How you actually, do you actually stand for righteousness in your city? Because this island, the gates are open to whoever will come. You've got to close the gates. And when you close the gates, there will be warfare. Come on, David never, it doesn't, not one of David's war battles were in the gates. Every battle that David fought were on the plains. He never allowed the battle to come to the gate. And yet we've now got battles in the gates. The gates are burning and we don't know what to do because we've never allowed the church to rise up and say, no, we're not going to allow this thing and this cult and this thing and that thing and everybody's philosophy and everybody's theories and everybody's stuff into the gate. The church is just overrun by all sorts of nonsense. Hello? Next week, you've got a whole gay parade, homosexuals walking through your city, and now we think it's normal. It's a normal occasion in Hawaii. Oh, praise God, they got their flag up. They can march through the city. Guess what you're doing? You're allowing perversion through the gate. Come on, somebody speak to me. You can't sit back and say, well, it's normal. It's not normal. The Bible says it's not normal to be a homosexual. But we've allowed it in the gate. Now it's normal. It's familiar now. Last year when we were there, we saw little children, 5, 6, 7 years old, marching with everybody. Pastors in walking together and say, as a church, we support homosexuality. Hello? So what you allow in your gate matters. And we're going to speak about it this week, what you allow. As a prophet, I can't allow stuff in my gate. As a man of God, as a woman of God that's born again, that's spiritful, that's been made righteous, that's brought into this beautiful relationship, that's been justified, I've got to guard my gate. And so I just hope this lands somewhere in your heart that you'll start to realize that it's not just us, the older guys here, the more mature people. This is, I'm speaking about the next generation, the Gen Z generation, the next leadership generation, whatever you want to call them. I'm looking at my grandkids and all the little kids that are growing up. What type of society are we going to leave for them when we pass on? What legacy will be left behind? Will it be a legacy of righteousness or a legacy of unrighteousness because we didn't guard the gates? When I live in South Carolina, the land of moonshine, I guarantee you, you can ask Miss D over there, I don't leave my door open at night. Not because there's criminals, because we've got a pond right behind our house full of alligators. I've got water moccasins. I've got all sorts of snakes. I've got stuff there that will kill you. I don't just leave my door open. Well, we're not going to lock the gate tonight. We'll just leave the gate open and see what happens in the morning. I don't do that. I lock the door. I make sure all the entrance points to my home are locked. Amen. Why? Because I don't want to wake up with an alligator in my bedroom. I know Pastor John just wanted to say something there. He was ready. Okay, let's go to the Bible. So think about this. You can write this down. What, in other words, what you let in matters. And as I travel, I've sat down with amazing leaders of nations. And one of the greatest regrets of leaders, ambassadors, senators, and this is what they say, we did not guard the gates. And so nations right now are being ravaged. You know what that word means? Go and look in the dictionary. I'm not going to tell you. Being ravaged. Right now, because of spiritual gates that have been breached, listen now, the wells and the holiness of the hearts of the people have been tainted. Tainted. The word tainted. But I can also say this, that generations that I meet are being taunted. Because we've left the gates open, the enemy has come in and poured soil or poured dirt into the wells. This is a very prophetic message. And I look at Ireland and I look at England and I look at Australia right now that are fighting. They are warring to get their nation back. Because some politician opened the gates. Now you can watch it. It's all over the news. It's all over all the different platforms. People are having to march. Millions of people are having to march. And you wonder if their voice and their activity of protesting is actually going to make any difference. I wonder many times. We've got to realize that in this season, we can bolt the gate and we can stop the enemy from breaching the gate, because when they breach the gate, they will pollute the well. What does that mean? How does that actually affect you? In other words, your education department, your education, your medical, your everything to do with society is now affected because we opened the gates. Amen, come on. Everything starts to be affected. Our schools, our universities. I mean, when I looked at when they killed and murdered Charlie Kirk, I couldn't believe that people were actually celebrating it. That's not a normal society, folks. A normal society, especially a first world society, doesn't celebrate another man's assassination. Doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. But why is it happening? We left the gates open. And something starts to happen when we don't realize that we are responsible. As a man of God, I am responsible not just to run around the nations and preach a word. My responsibility is to ignite righteousness in the hearts of people, to bring them back to their first love, to bring them back to a place that the only truth and nothing but the truth is the Word of God. That's my responsibility. Everybody says, oh, you're going to Hawaii, you're going to sit on the beach. No, I just detest that. Because in their minds, they think, oh, we're going to do this whole week, Dee and myself, we're going to lie on the beach and we're just going to eat, drink pina coladas and, eat pupus and hang around the beach. No, I'm here for such a time as this. You know, we've worked it out. I've been coming to this island for over 30 years. And I want to tell you right now, I'm more passionate about seeing revival in Hawaii than I've ever been before. Because God has put so much into the soil of our Hawaii. The preachers, the pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the people that have come year after year after year and have invested into the heart of this nation. I'm telling you right now, you guys are so saturated with God that anything could happen. And so let's go and have a look at Judges chapter 5. And I want to just show you what happens when leadership, just say leadership, when leadership forget their responsibility, when leadership, I'm not speaking about, leaders out there in the world. I'm speaking about godly leadership, church leadership, when we forget what we're here for, what we are actually being called to do, when we forget and we start downplaying the word and we our churches become seeker-friendly and we don't speak about the Holy Ghost and we don't want to prophesy and we don't want to raise our hands and we don't want to speak in tongues. Well, guess what? You're going to start allowing things in the gate that's going to start undermining the authenticity of God. Especially young pastors. Because they want to be cool and we want to be relevant and we don't want to be too abrupt. Oh, but we just want you to come and just have a good time, 30 minutes. We've got great coffee. We've got 2-3 worship songs. We just want you to come, just feel comfortable. No, you should not feel comfortable in God's presence. The days of feeling comfortable are over. Every time I come into God's presence and into His worship and the presence of God, there's a conviction. I feel convicted. There's this amazing sense of God, and the fear of the Lord rises up in me, and I'm aware of God, and I'm aware of this amazing, deep, heavy call that He's put on my life. That's not light. And so we've got to get it together. Nations have been ravaged, guys. And so when I go to Judges chapter 5, let's just read a couple of verses here. It says this, and I want you to listen to this, because at the end of the day, you've got to decide, your pastor, your leadership, this organization cannot decide, you decide. This is where your decision, your self-will, your ability to make a decision has to be clear and has to be mature. You've got to decide what type of nation, what type of church, what type of city you want to be. Amen? Are you guys okay? You sure? Because some of you are like, maybe you had a hard night last night. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. You've got to open up your heart today and say, God, I want to do some supernatural, immediate changes in my life. Not tomorrow, today. I need the Holy Ghost to come in and stir some sediment up in my life. And I've got to step out there and say, God, what areas in my life, in my marriage, in my children's lives, what gates have we left open? Because there's still time to shut the gates. Because when I read this, this is all about leadership. When you read Judges and you read about Deborah and you read about how she's a prophetess and a worship leader and she's judging the stuff. And the next thing, she actually arouses Barak that's been in hiding. The commander-in-chief of the army is hanging. I don't know where he's been, but she says, hey, Barak, we've got some work to do because this is what's happening in our nation. And she lays it out. And I want to read this to you because it's serious stuff. It says, after the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, after the days of Jehiel, meaning Yair, now listen to this. The caravan ceased. Travelers walked through byways. What did caravans represent in those days? Caravans represented economy. Say economy. It represented business. Caravans represented merchants. Merchants represented economies. So in other words, the economy started to fizzle out. The villages were unoccupied and rulers ceased in Israel until Deborah arose, a mother in Israel. Until Deborah, the anointing and the spirit of Deborah, and by the way, let me tell you, she was a woman of warfare. Hello? Until there's a voice of warfare, until there's a voice of reminding you. God wants to remind you that this is not just another bridal shower. This is the army of God being prepared for battle. Amen. Come on. And you've got to get your voice out there, and your voice needs to be heard. You can't be hiding in some cave somewhere. You've got to start to rise up and say, no, if I'm prophetic, then I'm going to be prophetic. If I'm a teacher, then I'm going to teach the stuff that's going to help the church to occupy. But I'm not just going to hang around, because there's no such thing as membership. It's kingdomship. Amen. We're members of one another. But the days of membership, well, I'm going to find a church that's perfect. And when you do, come and tell me, I will drive out a lying demon out of you. Because there's no such thing. You've got to get planted in community. You've got to get planted in the house. You've got to get planted so that when you get around worship, when you get about prayer. And by the way, church services like this, this is not the game. We think this is the game. This is not the game. This is the time that we talk to each other between the two halves of the game. This is halftime. Because when you leave this building, you get back in the game. People think, oh, well, this is the game. No, this is not the game. This is when your coaches get up and say, hey, guys, we've got to get out there, and we've got to smash the opponents. We've got to get out there, and we've got to score some tries. This is where you have that 10, 15-minute talk with your team so that when they leave the building, they know what to do. For so many years, we think this is the game. No, the game's out there, and we've got to get back in the game. And the game in different nations are different to, you know, the nation of South Africa. The game's different. We're warring there for racial reconciliation. People are killing each other because of racial stuff going on. Europe's different. There's all sorts of weird stuff going on in Europe. Wokeness has come into America. So in every nation and every city, the games are different. So you've got to discern your game. In Ireland, the game's different. Scotland, the game's different. But you've got to know your game. You've got to know, hey, these are the strategies that God's given me. But when we look and read stories like this, this should prompt you to say, hey, I don't want this to happen. I don't want economic breakdown. I don't want leaders, no longer leaders. Everybody's just out there. There's no leaders. We need leaders. We saw in America when we had no leader for 4 years. We had the walking dead for 4 years. And so we need some leaders back. And then it says, the villages were unoccupied and rulers ceased in Israel until you, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. Formerly, they chose new gods. Then war was in the gates. Now, I'm going to put this all into context in a while. There was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? What that actually means when you study it out. In Israel, with 40,000 soldiers, Pastor Pat, there was no sword or shield found among the soldiers. That's what that actually means. They laid down their swords. They laid down their shields. This massive army of 40,000, and nobody could find any weaponry amongst this army. What can be said about the church? When people meet you, can they actually see the anointing on your life? Do they see the power of God? Do you actually carry some type of weaponry that the devil is so afraid of that he doesn't mess with you? Or have you become so passive that anything can just come into your house and just overwhelm you and possess you because you don't know where your weapons are? You don't read the word. You're not in the word, so you don't know how to use the word of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, they chose false gods. And when you read this, I mean, you need to go through this. It really just vibrated through my heart. It says, when you put this into context, they chose false gods. Why? Because they left the gate open. The war was in the gate. They were so overwhelmed. They said, you know what? Let's appease our enemy and let's start to worship their gods. That's what it means. Idolatry is rife in the church. Idolatry is just walk through the door. Two things happen when we don't guard the moral and righteous gates of our hearts or our nation. When morality no longer is an issue, it's not important to us. Righteousness is not important. This is what happens. It affects the economy and production in the nation. I'm telling you. I went and did some research over some of the nations that I've been to, and I'm thinking, okay, God, what I've seen in the nation of Africa, in Uganda, in Tanzania, in Kenya, and all of these nations, even South Africa, they've actually opted for ancestry worship. Hawaii is full of ancestry worship. And guess what's happened to the economy? Can anybody tell me about the economy of Hawaii? It's shrinking. Economies are shrinking because we opt for idolatry. I don't know about you, but we need some healthy economies. That's why I'm so thankful for the leadership we have in our nation, because they're restoring economies, because they're restoring godliness. I know it wouldn't be a big amen, but I'm telling you, it's happening. It affects, listen to me, it affects the integrity of spiritual truth in a nation when we start opting for other gods, when we start saying, we don't mind what comes in the gate, what happens, we don't mind about who's polluting our wells. What happens, it ultimately affects the integrity of spiritual truth. So this word of God no longer is seen as the truth, it's a truth. Was there not a shield or a sword found anywhere among 40,000 in Israel? The army laid down their weapons and compromise settled. Listen to me. When an army is no longer leading, when there's no longer leadership, when we're not hearing the word of God taught with great conviction, what happens, my brother, is compromise sets in. Because if it's whatever's filtering through leadership, and I'm not just speaking about politicians and the leadership in government, I'm speaking about church leadership. When there's compromise in a church or in leadership, it's going to filter through into your people, and your people will think, there's no rules here. We can just break any rule we want because we're under grace. We've got to start to stir up righteousness, godliness, holiness, integrity. Amen. Come on. No compromise. We know that the army is fighting, as intercessors are praying, the prophets are doing what they need to do. But all of us in this room have a responsibility. And you've got to say today, God, I thank you that God placed us in Hawaii. We are a culture that is so unique. But because we are a unique culture, I'm going to step up and I'm going to make sure the gates of my nation is no longer open to everything. And it's going to take a combined effort. It's going to take a whole group of people that can say, hey, you know, it's not just Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, but I'm going to stand up by faith and I'm going to start speaking prophetically over the people of my nation. When we stop God in the gates, listen to what happens. It's just five things. I could have given you 50. When we stop God in the gates, when we allow anything in, this is what starts to happen. It's very simple. People start to compromise. In other words, there's a lukewarm state in the church. What does Jesus say about lukewarmness? What do you say about lukewarmness? You're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarmness. Whatever will be, will be. It's okay, mate. Like in Australia, she'll be all right, mate. Yeah. And it's happening in the church. And we think it's cool. We don't even address people sleeping together anymore. We don't address it. We don't address those things that are creeping in. And these young people that are, and I'm so blessed to see the amount of young men and women in your church. You're the next gen leadership. And we've got to focus and invest into your life. But the investment that we make into your life needs to cause you to understand that what we do up front here is important. We can't just shimmy around when it comes to the truth. We've got to give you the truth and nothing less than the truth. So people become compromised. Listen to me, it affects the economy. I've spoken about poverty starts to set in. Do you know that when you go around the world, Dee and myself have traveled to 52 nations, so I've got a little bit of a clue of what's going on. When you have cults, like Islam is a cult, when you have Freemasonry, when you have any type of cult, these dudes that walk up and down in Waikiki there with their weird hairstyles beating a drum, when you get around those dudes and you see what they do in a city, do you know what they actually bring into cities? Muslims will bring in a spirit of poverty. You go to Uganda, some of the places in Kenya, where you have big, like Mombasa. If you go to Kenya, on the east coast of Kenya, it's called Mombasa. Do you know that Mombasa was one of the most powerful, one of the most beautiful tourist areas in all of Africa? It was a tourist magnet. It was one of the richest areas in all of Africa. Mozambique, on the coast of Mozambique, all the beautiful hotels and resorts. It was so prosperous. There was money coming into the nation. The minute the Muslims stepped into those areas, you know what happened? Poverty stepped into the area. So when we allow all sorts of cults and all sorts of weird philosophies step into a godly, righteous nation, what we actually do is we actually allow poverty to set in. Hello? When last have you, some of you, been to Waikiki and walked around Waikiki and seen the filth? Anybody home? Because you're on the station. This is your bridge. This is your ship. You've got to realize what's going on there. Why is it that once Waikiki was, I remember coming to Waikiki and it was clean and neat and the grass was cut and it was beautiful and there was, and now you walk around Waikiki and it's filthy. There's sewage lying around. What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Your leader's at the top. The leader's at the top. Left the gates open. And so, number three, I know this is a difficult one for a Sunday morning, but after this, you can go and have lunch at Zippy's. I know this is a tough call, but this morning, you've got to start to realize, guys, God has prepared you for such a time as this. And if you and I don't step up and say, we are locking the gate, we're bolting the gate, who will? Who will take the initiative if you don't? Number three, people lose the will to stand. In other words, people lose the will to fight. Number four, false gods start looking attractive. You can't serve New Age and serve Jesus. I'm sorry to tell you that. You can't serve ungodliness and serve this and serve that, and maybe I can have a crystal ball and maybe I can go and see the fortune teller or whatever you go to. You can't do that anymore. Nations become desolate because of godly truth that's void. There's no more truth. Truth is gone. You know, I spoke to some people. I was in D.C. Myself and Dee went to D.C. And I was walking around the White House and just speaking to people, not in the White House, but I was outside. And I was just walking around and was started to meet a lot of the agents, the Secret Service people there. And I started to speak to them about, you know, the jobs they do and how they do their jobs and this and that. They said over the last 4 years, do you know that the gates of the White House were open to anybody? That the White House and the Capitol City, the Capitol building, was a breeding place for iniquity. Never in the history of the White House have they ever found drugs in the White House. But 3 years ago, they found drugs. The Capitol building was used as a recruitment center for ideologies that'll make your hair curl. Our Capitol building. See, I take stuff like that seriously. So whatever we allow in the top will filter down into the bottom. Amen? Come on. So you've got to start to think about this in this next season. We are not called to survive. We are called to overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, not loving our lives unto death. See, we like to quote the first two. Let me tell you something, what's going to happen in Ireland. There'll be another war in Ireland. And it won't be a war between the Ireland Republican Army and all the other dudes. It's going to be a war between religious people. There's going to be a war. There will be, in England, there will be a war. Because let me tell you right now, you've given enough space to the enemy to think they belong. And when you rise up with your English flag or your Irish flag and you start saying, hey, you know what, we're going to take territory back. Let me tell you, there's going to be knockback. They're going to push back. And now, let me tell you, I've been around long enough to realize this is not for the faint-hearted. See, we have built such passivity into the church. Passive. Oh, brother, we'll just love you. We'll bless you. Praise God. And when there's warfare, the church is nowhere to be seen. We're hiding. You've got to rise up. Start prophesying. Start decreeing over your city. Go into the city. Go into Waikiki. Get out of your neighborhood just for a weekend. There's another world outside of your neighborhood. Get into Waikiki. Walk this. I was so blessed. I met this precious young man and some other lady. Yeah, what's your name, ma'am? Diane and Matthew. These guys were on the streets preaching the gospel. They almost got me saved. And I'm thinking, who are these dudes from? Where are they? Oh, they're from the Door of Faith Church. And it wasn't just them. It was a whole bunch of people all connected from your church in Waikiki, even where angels feared to tread. They were there. And I'm thinking about, hey, you know what? These guys are building strategy. They're building something. Their voice is going out. They're preaching. They're teaching. They're laying hands on people. They got a guy saved from England. I think that's amazing. Amen? Come on. And I walk into them thinking, man, who are these guys? Because I didn't even recognize him. I'm walking across the road. He's got a T-shirt on as big as two boxes on his, I mean, it's this big. Big T-shirt, big cross, Jesus saved, whatever it was on. And I'm just honing in on the T-shirt, so I stop him because I want to minister to him. I'm thinking, praise God, this poor Christian. And then I found out he's from your church, so I didn't do anything. I just, praise God. Are you hearing, what are you hearing this morning? Are you hearing just, this is not another preaching message, guys. This is prophetic strategies that God is putting into place, and he's calling the church to attention. You've got to rise up in the season and say, okay, where do I fit in the context of what God is doing on the earth? What is my assignment? And if I'm not running in my lane, let me get in my lane and let me start running. Let me represent God in some area of my life that I have great influence. Because all of you in this room have great influence. If you're married, you have influence. If you work in a business, you have influence. Wherever you live and have your being, you have great influence. And so you've got to say, God, I thank you that in my lifetime, there will be a shield and there will be a sword found among 40,000. We will not lose our voice because of the enemy. So this morning, I want you to think about, I want you to meditate as I bring this to a close. It's very quick. Because I'm just laying foundation for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we're going to get into some amazing stuff. But this morning, I want you to think about what your gates look like. What does your gates look like? Who have you given ownership to your gates? Can you imagine how deeply affected David was when he realized his son Absalom was in the gates of government but did not represent him? We've allowed so many people in the gates that we thought we could trust. I'm deemed myself of having a good, we're having a spring clean of our ministry because we've allowed all sorts of people into the gates. And guess what? We've found that not all of them are there for us. They're for themselves. So you've got to start to think, who's sitting at your table? Who's sitting at your table? Who's eating from your table? Who's actually speaking into your life? Got to think about that. What does your daughter's gates look like? All the young men that want to court your daughter, are they coming through the gates of purity or are they coming through the gates of perversion? Who are you allowing to speak into your marriage? Where are you getting your stuff from matters? Amen? Come on. And so I started to think about that in our own life. And I want to tell you, there was a lot of soul searching and a lot of reckoning in my life because my wife is, I call her, she's my thermometer, she's my thermostat, and she's my temperature gauge. I just let everybody in. And these had to say to me, no, you've got to be a little bit more discerning. You've got to discern the season. Discern that, but what's on their life? Are they bringing their sheep disease into your gate? Sheep disease. Some of us, not this church, maybe the church down the road, but there's some people in church that need to be a little dipped. They need to be dipped. Amen? Dip them in the blood of Jesus. But we just allow everybody in. Just because they say they love Jesus doesn't mean anything to me. I want to see your character. I want to see what legacy are you leaving behind? What is actually in the wake? How many of you know that we all leave a wake behind us? Some of us go to other people's wakes, but that's not the wake I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about the influence. How many of you know that your heart is one big electrical, it gives off electrical pulses, magnetic field. Let me say it like that, magnetic field. Because it's a pump, your heart actually creates a magnetic field. Do you know scientists? We're just with Pastor Tom, and Tom's a scientist. And he was saying that if your heart is pumping and you are healthy, you actually radiate, three feet or four feet around you. People can actually sense, animals can sense your heart capacity by the magnetic field that you put off. That's why when you're in Africa on a jeep, elephants 20, 30, 40, 50 yards away can actually pick up your heartbeat and can sense what type of emotion you're in. So when you're out in the bush on a game drive, the game ranger will say to you, don't panic, because that elephant's going to pick up what's happening in your heart. Isn't that amazing? Horses are the same. If you're around a horse and you're freaking out, that horse is going to give you a hard time. Amen. Do you realize that when you live and have your being and you walk up to people and you're living out there in the society, do you know that I pick up people? I can sense what's going on with them. How many of you ever felt that before? You just sense it. Something's not right. Something's off. Well, guess what? It's all about what's going on in their heart. Now, we can just say, well, that's just science. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's spiritual. Okay, well, that's for another day. That was for free. So, once again, this morning, I want you to meditate on what's going on in your gates. This week, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about Nehemiah. I'm going to talk about what he built first, how he built it. I'm going to speak about all those different gates that Nehemiah went through, what those gates represent. We're going to talk about that. But today, the one thing that I want you to leave with, the takeaway this morning is your heart gate healthy? Is your eye gate healthy? Is your ear gate healthy? Amen. Come on. Where you compromised in this season is going to show up. Amen. Come on. You've got to make sure that there are no foreign voices in your gate. And so I just want to stop there because I've just got too much to share. But who's guarding your gates? Are you God? I'm responsible to guard my gate. My wife is, she's my helpmeet. She guards my gates. I'm guard her gates. We're looking after each other. Amen. Come on. This walking around the streets of Waikiki, I've had to guard my eye gate. Amen. Come on. Yes. You can't be gazing into the unknown. Oh, I just like what I see. By the time you get home, you'll be infested with all sorts of trash. Amen. Come on. And so this morning, I just want us to wait on the Lord. Father God, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you bring in the church into a maturity, a state of maturity. Lord, we are not an immature church. We're a mature church. Jesus is seated in heavenly places. Our Savior is strong. Our Savior has gone through what we will never go through, and that was a death, that was a resurrection. He's seated in heavenly places, and we are seated with him. We are the beneficiaries, man. Come on. Don't squander. Look at me right now. Don't squander. Don't squander. You know what the word squander means? Don't give away the price that he paid. You know, we give away the ability that he paid for. We just let it go. No, step into your role. Step into your ability. Step into your anointing today. Step into it. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm 88 and I'm just halfway there. No, you need to step back into the anointing, the purposes, the plan. Step into it and say, if I'm a teacher, then I'm going to do some great things. I just want to speak to, what is his name again? Jamie and Ludmila. I want to just say there's a great, you can look at me, there's a great anointing of teaching coming on your church. Teaching. I just see teaching coming out of you like never before. A teaching anointing coming in your church like never before. People are going to come to you because of the sound teaching, strong teaching. It's like you're going to teach foundational truths that many of them have never heard before. And you are going to spark an anointing on those people. You're going to spark a conviction. There's going to be something about that area that you are going to see change dramatically. It's not just going to be year after year, seeds in the soil, no harvest. You've planted a lot. You've been productive. You have sown many seeds. It's now time to see harvest. And I just saw such a combination of teaching and instruction and exhortment, and even the worship of your church is going to go to another level, like never before. So, Lord, we thank you. I want to speak to you. What is your name? Come up here quickly. I just want to call a couple of people out. Thank you, Jesus. Come. Just come. Stand up here. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. This couple, are you together? Come up here, please. And when you come up, hold hands like you're in love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, this week, there's going to be a lot of ministry. A lot of ministry. Come up here, you and your wife, please. Thank you, Jesus. There's going to be a lot of ministry. Are you guys sitting against the wall there? Are you guys together? Do you know that man? Praise God. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can put some music on, just not jazz music and stuff like that. Just, Father God, we just thank you. I want to minister to you today. I feel that God wants to just really encourage you. I just sense a deep desire of your heart. Just when I've watched you and over the last couple of years I've been here, I've watched you, and there's such a beautiful servant's heart on your life. You just want to serve. You just want to serve. But the one thing God wants to increase in your heart is the stamina and the desire and the conviction for his word. The more you get in that word, the more the word's going to get inside of you and it's going to show up. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Today you need to be encouraged. God sees, God hears, he knows the deep desires and the dreams of your life. Father God, today we thank you for this precious young man. We thank you, Lord, that you open up realms and realms of revelation to him. And Father God, I thank you for the momentum that'll happen in his life that's going to astound even the naysayers that he's had to deal with. But the momentum, God's going to start to give you momentum in Jesus' name. This year is going to be the year where you're going to see the end of the year come with such joy, because 2026 is going to be a year of it's going to supersede 2025. Amen. So stay the course. You can hold my hand. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Look at me. Don't get bogged down in theologies. Because sometimes, now theology is important, but don't build a theology around what's not working. Build a theology around what is working. Step into that place of saying, Holy Spirit, I want to do exactly what you want me to do. And there's been such a preparation period. You have been in a time of preparation for years. But now it's time to activate some of that. You've got to find your fit. You've got to find your expression. Is it full-time ministry? Is it missions? Is it children's ministry? Is it preaching? What is it? God, where do I fit in? Because I just see there's a little bit of there's a lot of activity. But now you need to find your fit. You need to say, okay, this is what I'm going to specialize in. This is what I'm going to be doing. And I just see God taking you to places like Ireland and Europe. God's going to set you up. God's going to make a way. So stop worrying about the money. Just say, God, I'm here. I'm ready. God, send me. Don't overthink it now. Because that's what happens in the past. You overthink everything and then you lose the moment. So Father, we thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. I just watch. I don't know. Do you guys come to this church? They come to this church? God's church? Oh, wow. Okay. Because give me both your hands. I just see you guys being such a pillar. You're a pillar And the enemy's trying to shake the pillar. And the Lord's saying, I am going to come in and I'm going to intervene in this unnecessary shaking that you've been enduring. The enemy can't strip you from what God's called you to be. Men cannot strip that off you. And they've tried. So what you've got to do in this next 2-3 days, you've got to go back to God and say, God, I know that I'm called. I know that we are called. I know that I have anointing on my life. I'm stepping back into my assignment. In spite of what everybody's saying, you've got to get back into your assignment and you've got to say, God, I'm taking back the territory. Because of your strength, because of your ability to see. You've married a woman that can see. She's a seer. And that's why the enemy is so ruffled right now, because she knows some things in the spirit. And the Lord says, son, you've got to get stronger and more bold and more courageous than you've ever had before. But you're not going to lose a whole year because other people didn't think that you were the man. Amen? Come on. You're anointed. Thank you, Jesus. What is your name? And where do you go to church? Wherever God needs us. No, let me just say this. God needs you to be rooted in a house. You know why? You know, a house like this. Do you know why? Because you guys have such an amazing anointing and a testimony of marriage. So when you around, just going around, and it's wonderful. I love your heart, man. But God says, how would you... It would be better for you. You must remember, when God calls you, it's not about you, it's about people. So when you travel around and you're a transient guy, you're just going around. But when you plant it in the house, guess who benefits? The house. Amen? Not just for you guys, need to think it through. Think it through, pray, say, Lord, where are we? Where do we need to be in terms of a house? Not a religion, not a denomination, community. You're a father. You're a papa. Come on. You're a strong spiritual dad. Amen. You're a strong spiritual mother that's been tested. You've been through tests other women have gone, would never have thought of gone through. But you guys have been through the fire. But I just feel the Lord this morning saying, son, find your fit. Get planted so that you can radiate the light. Amen. Come on. That's what you carry. And your grandchildren, how many grandchildren do you have? 6. I felt the Lord say, don't be concerned about your grandchildren like you've been concerned about your children. God says, I'm going to bring restoration and healing in this genealogy. Thank you, Lord. Are you married? When are you getting married? Convicted. So what you've got to do is, how long have you known each other? 11 years. What are you waiting for, brother? Are you married? You just gave you a ring. When? Praise God. Hallelujah. Give them a big hand. Because when I saw you sitting against the wall there, you know what the Lord said to me? This young man and his wife will actually lead young men and women in ministry. Okay, so hold hands. So you, is this your pastor? Okay, so you've got to come to Pastor John next week. And you're going to say, we have set a date. Oh. Set a date. Stop allowing the voices. Look at me. There's some voices that are speaking to you and bringing doubt and fear. And that's why you've been a little resistant. But if you've been with this man for 11 years, you should know. Amen. So this week, say this week. Say, this week, right? But you can make a decision. No, I'm not speaking about getting married. I'm saying you've got to get a date, because let me tell you what's missing. Many times we don't realize God wants to bring you into this amazing place of covenant. There's covenant, there's promise, there's blessing, and now you're living in a tent in the garden, but you're not in the house. So next week, as soon as you can, I mean, you haven't just met him 3 weeks ago, 11 years. And I'm saying this to you because you know what? There's a call of God on your life. There's a call of God on your life. And so I'm just going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, look at me, wisdom, wisdom and grace. Amen. because what you carry is so beautiful. Because when you do get married, the amazing, you know, God can compress years into moments. Let me say that again. God can compress years into moments. And I believe as you step into that place of obedience and responsibility, all the years God's going to compress and you're going to see the most amazing blessings come forth out of this union. Amen? God bless you. Thank you, Pastor John. Well, God is good, man. I want to tell you, Dee and myself, in our church in Australia, we had like, how many? Seven couples that were just shacking up. Is that a good word, yeah? Shacking up. And so they were just hanging together. They had children. Some of these couples had children. And what we did was we married every single one of them. And all of them are still married today. Because we believe in union. Marriage is a union of covenant. I believe that. And when people live outside of the union of marriage, the covenant of God is not fully realized. And God wants you to walk in covenant. Amen? So just hold your heart. Just put your hand on your heart. Father God, we thank you for every one of these precious, precious men and women of God, that they would step into their assignment today. God, that they would keep the gates closed, that they'll be aware of what's happening in the gates. So Father God, I thank you this week as we step into these 4 or 5 days of ministry, God, that you would bring such strategy, such vision, such wisdom, and that they will leave this building today knowing that you love them. God, they are called out. They are the apple of your eye. And Lord, I bless them today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor John.
Come on, let's hear it for Pastor. Thank you. So you've been duly warned. God's moving. Are you willing to get close? Might get singed a little bit, but it's all for the kingdom. Amen. A couple of thoughts for you. First of all, we meet at 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You can go online. Scott, can you put up the advertisement for registration for this? If you're going to be here, please register so we're going to put out some snacks and stuff so that when we take a break, we'd like to know if you're coming and. That'd be great. Bring some friends, in fact. Listen, this might be a breakthrough season for some of you that you would say, I'm determined to hear what God is thinking. Just take the shot. You know what I mean? It's tough maybe if you live on the west side or the east side, whatever, but just take the shot and spend some time this week saying to the Lord, I want to hear what you think about what's going on. David's going to talk straight to us. If you want to give a gift, a love offering, or whatever to my brother, we have boxes in the back. You can also go online. The QR code up there will get you to the registration page. But you can go online and on Door of Faith Honolulu, DoorFaithHawaii.com, and you can give, or you can get our app, and you can give that way too. Please consider blessing the man of God as he's in town this week, okay? That'd be okay with everybody. I think, huh? Amen. Yeah. Well, if you don't think of blessing him, think of blessing his wife, okay? She has to travel with him. You know how difficult that is, right? He takes care of her, really. Let's all rise, shall we? Thank you for being here today. It's such a blessing for us to see all of you. You and Brian, you want to chat a little bit after, too? Okay. Praise God. Everybody right on the over here, everybody got their wallets still? Nobody lost any wallets during the service? Purses? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you now as we think about the decisions to be made today on the rest of the week, but also the decisions that will be made over the next few days that affect eternity in our lives. We just thank you that we are reminded again that you love us and you care for us and you want the very best. Lord, we desire to bring glory to your name wherever we go, whatever we do. So bless us as we go. Encourage us. Help us to be world changers, Lord, as we step out the doors here, ever conscious and ever sensitive to those who need to hear your name and your purposes in their lives. We thank you for it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Lord bless you. Love you.